Good morning. Okay, well, hopefully you can see that. We've got a double whammy this morning, so we've got two parables to look at. We're busy working through a series of stories that Jesus told, and this morning's one is on God's love. So any guesses what those two parables are? Lost sheep and the lost coins. Good. I'm glad nobody said the lost sofa. Why is there a sofa there? Exactly, that's where all your coins end up. Very good, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I need a pointer thing. We've got a new pointer. No, I need to turn it off. Fell at the first channel. Yeah, okay, great. Good, okay. So, yeah, the lost sheep and the lost coin. So, let's have a read there. So, Jesus is, well, yeah, we're in Luke 15. Now, the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So, just to put things into a little bit more context, I think we, you know, if we've been at church long enough, we grew up with the concept that Pharisees are bad, Pharisees hypocrites. So if somebody walks up to me and says, "John, you are a tax collector," I'd go, "No, I'm a computer software engineer." But if somebody walks up to me and says, "John, you are a Pharisee," I'd be all offended. I'd think that they've got something against me. So it's become this byword meaning not so nice things. But in reality, back then, the Pharisees were the good guys. So they were the holy people. They were the pillars of society. They were the ones trying to keep the nation together and not fall into sin and temptation and be thrown out into exile again. They were the good guys. Tax collectors, on the other hand, we think, "Oh, the tax collectors, Jesus loved them, blessed." But you know what? They weren't really such nice people. So if you imagine, we've got Great Britain here. It's a nice place. We like it. Might have feelings about the government, but generally the place works well and people queue and it's just pretty good. But if a foreign power comes in with their military, overcomes our military, sets up government here, rules us, we're in almost slavery, but not quite, definitely as British, we're being mistreated. Not nice, we don't want it, they're the oppressors. But then some of our mates start siding with them, and actually they take positions in collecting this oppressive tax from us, and what's more, they start creaming a bit extra off the top. Probably wouldn't be so happy with that. So that's the tax collectors, not nice people. But Jesus there, Jesus is spending a lot of time with them, and fair enough, the Pharisees are pretty unhappy with that. So let's carry on reading. Then Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose one of you, Pharisees, has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." So what's going on there? Well, let's have a look at that a little bit. So there's the shepherd, and he's got his 100 sheep. And maybe they've been in the hills. He's sort of leading them through, and they're finding spots to eat as they go, probably quite far from home. And then at some stage he goes, "I know what 100 sheep look like. 100 sheep look like 97 sheep. They're just everywhere. Maybe 104 sheep, maybe 93. How do I know if I've lost any of them?" So he waits until they're in probably quite a good place, and he finds a mound somewhere to stand on. Luckily for him, there's a chair there. And he stands up on it, ignoring all the health and safety warnings flashing. And he starts counting. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, eventually it's XCD, XCDI, XCDII, XCDIII. XC1X. Nah, surely not. It's 1%.
Exactly,
yeah. But he gets all the way up to 99 again, and it's missing in Hebrew. So there's a sheep missing. What does he do? If he's got a good business mind, he would have looked at his year's books and he would have said, 1% loss. Yeah, now we write that off. That's fine. We're going to just make sure the 99% of the company is running well. Next year will be a better one. Okay, maybe I would be doing that. But what does 1% look like? What does 10% look like? Imagine, I think currently at the moment, 5% of England is probably sitting in a church worshipping God this morning. So that's 5%. Now can you imagine if 90% of Bristol actually came to church on Sunday morning? Anybody happy with 90%?
Really?
Come on! 90%! Okay, we've got one person there who'd be happy with 90%. I'd be happy with 90%. I'd probably think the queue for the coffee is a bit long. But I'd be pretty happy with 90%. So that's 10. I'd be sort of okay with 10%, maybe not. Because 90% is good. How about 5%? Interestingly, I was speaking to a friend who was with the South African Army. He was in like their special services there. And he said they had a 5% rate of not making it. So if you're going for your basic training, 95% of people making it was acceptable. But that didn't mean that the 5% went home. He was meaning 95% had a life afterwards. They survived. There wasn't an accident and they didn't make it. The South African Army was happy with 5%. Would I be happy with 5%? Not making it. So one, what does 1% look like? Anyway, the shepherd, bless his heart, he decides 1% is worth going for. So he takes the 99 and they all shuffle down to the open country and he gets them somewhere where they're safe. He doesn't just leave them there, he knows they're safe. And then he goes and looks for the one sheep. And you can bet your boots, it's shabby sheep. It's always shabby sheep. He's gone missing before. Shabby sheep always gives problems. I've lost the song. So he goes looking for a shabby sheep. And so he's, obviously, they've come a long distance. And they've been through the hills. And where could shabby sheep be? So he has taken the sheep even further to a good place. And now he's wandering around. Shabby sheep! Shabby! Sheep, 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 sheep! Sheep, 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 sheep! They're in the distance here. Shabby sheep! Sheep, sheep! Gets closer and closer, and there, the shabby sheep, it's fallen into a ravine. He went looking for mandrakes, and that is a real plant, and fell into the ravine. So he gets down there, hauls the sheep out by the scruff of his neck, gives them a good shake, and says, "You silly sheep!" And he drags him behind him back to the, all the way back to the herd, gets in there, gets a stapler out of his pocket, and staples his ear to another sheep, and says, "You will never go missing again." Oh, no, no. No, no, sorry. No, I got that wrong. No. It definitely wasn't in this text. No, no, it says he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And he goes home. He leaves the 99. Isn't that a bit weird? The 99 is still there. He goes home. He has a party. That's sort of a bit of a strange thing. So there's this wayward sheep. Waste of time. Yeah. Yeah, some people do think it's a good thing to put shabby sheep on the fire. I do like men. So we feel the same. And the Bible says that there's the same party in heaven. Now the face value of the sheep, what is a sheep worth? Anybody knows? Anybody bought a sheep recently? As food, I have no idea. 100 pounds, 200, 300? I'm not sure. Well, you pay for all the veterinary costs and everything as well, so. We have a young man that we support as part of a compassion program. Many of you probably have heard of it, and some of you I'm sure also have a child that you support. His name's Saul, and he's in Uganda. And one year we took just a small amount of money, well, £12 was, you know, would be a lovely gift for him in his exchange rate, and we gave it to him, and he sent a letter back a few months, or arrived a few months later, and he said, "Thank you so much for the money. With it, I bought a cow." I want to retire there. A cow. It's like, wow. I mean, maybe it was, didn't have a V8 engine, maybe one horn or it had scanty legs or something. But it was a cow. And you think, well, what, you know, what does a sheep cost? So £12 for a cow, £3, £4, maybe £5 for a sheep. £4.99. We have an expert. Do you have any higher? £4.99. Sold. Shabby sheep. So £5, they said £5 for a sheep. So for £5, the shepherd has left the other sheep there in potential risk as seen from an outsider. He's gone through all this effort, gets home, has this big party. On the face value, a sheep, just a sheep. I'm ready, just a sheep. Jesus is saying, in heaven, there's a party. I mean, just one person gets through to God, or God to them. So, but another parable, we're going to come back to that and just sort of have a look a little bit more. But suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and she says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I can really identify this with this one. I like coins. I collect coins. Coins are something special for me. Jesus said something about it. He said that the love of money, I forget the rest. Anyway, I'm sure that's great. Loving coins, and I collect them. And the coins that are talked about in this story here are silver coins. And basically, one silver coin is one day's salary. So if you think of here in the UK, week's average salary is about 550, maybe that includes work done on the weekend. So let's say about £100 a day. A silver coin worth £100 a day. There we go, that's one of them. Comes from Gibraltar, it's a £100 coin. We actually also have English £100 coins. You know that? They're legal tender, which means you can pay off debt with them, but you're not going to be able to spend them in the shop. And you can only buy them from the Royal Mint. Yeah. So, how did it get lost? How did the lady lose the coin? It's probably her lifetime savings. Be in a box on the shelf. She probably checked on it every few days just to make sure it was okay. You know he had stolen it. There's only probably one reason that coin went missing. Children. Sorry, children. Where's my coin? So she probably counted them. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, all the way up. 1X. Ah, X is missing. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, yes. Oh, missing coin. Louis! Maisie! Have you been playing with mummy's coin? No, mum. Are you sure? No, mum. What have you been doing, my coin? Oh, sorry, mum. What were you doing? You know not to touch mummy's special coin. We're playing table rugby. Anybody play table rugby with a coin? Wonderful. The rest of you, you've missed out. Ask me afterwards and I'll explain table rugby. So she decides, got to find the coin. Thankfully the table was inside. She knows it's in the house somewhere. And she lights a lamp. And she gets out of the room. And she starts sweeping. That's a real photo. I don't know if you all can see that. It's a house in Namibia, in a place called Kolmanskoppe, which within a few days just became this ghost town. People just moved out and the desert has taken them. Amazing place, really, really beautiful. Went there on my honeymoon. Other places as well. So what is
So she finds the coin and absolutely delighted. She decides she's going to invite her friends and neighbors. So let's have a look at this with a bit of a financial mind. Friends, it's a small village. Maybe she's only got four friends. One of them's away on a Dead Sea cruise. So that's only three of them. So it's herself, two children, three friends. So that's six people. And she can invite her neighbors over as well. Small village, maybe there are only three households around her. Small families, five each, that's 15, 6, 21. But actually Maisie and Louis, they're going to go to bed early, so she doesn't need to cater for them. 19 people, she rushes off to Tesco, and buys food for 19 people. £25? I don't know. Reading a bit too much into the parable, I know, but she's spending money on money that just doesn't make financial sense. And the sheep thing, in my mind, also, it just doesn't make financial sense. So what is going on here? What is Jesus actually talking about? What is he challenging the Pharisees on? And I think it is all about value. He's talking about value. So we have the Pharisee versus the tax collector. And in the Pharisee's mind, he's valuable. He adds to society. The tax collector takes away. Jesus tells a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector praying. The Pharisee is saying, thank God, I'm not a tax collector, but the tax collector, he knows his value. He's just saying, oh God, sorry. So face value, the Pharisee is worth a lot. The tax collector, maybe not worth a lot. At least in the way they estimate. But what is value? Value is a really strange thing. There's some 50 pence pieces. Who's good at quick math? What value have we got there? Base value? £5. That's correct. That's very good. Any idea what they might sell for on eBay? Sorry, my coin collecting genes coming up. I heard of Jemima.
Jemima was worth a lot of money.
Ah, some kindred spirit. Jemima Puddle back down here. She's the rarest of the 11 Beatrix Potter coins. So she's quite a favorite. Girl Guide one, yeah, that's a nice coin. Down here there's one which is my favorite, the World Wildlife Trust. You can't really see a physical panda bear in the middle. Beautiful coin. Would you believe me if I say those would sell for between £70 and £170 on eBay? The face value of £5. But current real value, at least £70. That one there is made of the same metal as all the others. Same size. Same everything. Bit of a different design. But they only made 220,000 of them rather than 1 million, 2 million, 5 million. That one goes for between 60 and 160 quid. Ridiculous. It's absolutely crazy. And who determines that value? Is it anything of the coin itself? Has the coin done anything? Is it amazingly different to the other coins? Actually just simply that somebody decided at some stage they'd pay £5 for that. Somebody bought it and thought, actually no, this sell it for 7, and then maybe 12, and then maybe 25, and currently it's 60. A well used one, totally mint one, 160. That's value. And it could go down. So we have one sheep and one coin. Why all the attention? Why all the effort when the face value is maybe not a lot, not as much as the effort? This is Saul. That's Saul who I mentioned. Saul is from Uganda. We discovered him on Compassion website. Compassion is an amazing organization. And you can have the privilege to really input into lives of underprivileged people around the world. Do you know that there are 385 million children living below the poverty line? Do you know how many names I know of those children? Saul. of that statistic, that big number, there's one boy who for me isn't a statistic. He's a real person, and I value him. And as a family, we decided we were going to go on this compassion website and look for somebody to support. And we went in and thought, wow, let's go to Africa. We're from Africa. So we had a look on the Africa option. We thought maybe somebody similar age to Jess Venge. And so we found Saul. Saul's basically 2 months younger than Jessica. And we chose him, as crass as this might sound, based on us. I chose him, we chose him based on what we wanted. Hardly knew anything about him. There wasn't a huge big write-up, nothing about his strengths and how far he'd go. There's nothing about his weaknesses or his failures in life. We didn't know that. We just knew we wanted to give ourselves into another human being. And he was the one. So his value for me is higher than the other 384,999,999 children. Not because they have any face value less than him, but I valued him. We input into him. We help with his education costs. We write letters to him. We pray for him. We have raised him up in our minds, possibly above the value of somebody else's village in our minds. Can't take that too far, otherwise it gets, you know, can't come across as becoming cool. But he has value in my heart because I chose to value him. And I think it's the same with God. The sheep and the coins that come through, are they massively valuable? If the shepherd had left that one sheep there just to die, it would just be the sheep that died. But it wasn't. It was the sheep that he went and rescued. And he lifted it out, and he took it home. And he had a party with it, and he carried it on his shoulders. Not because of the sheep, but because of him. He's the amazing one in the story. So what are we worth? What is your worth? As a human being, you're worth the same as every human being. That's a good thing. But you hear voices coming from the side. Ooh, shouldn't have done that. Ooh, it would have been better if you had done this. Or, wow, you're amazing. You're such outshots like you. And then all these sort of false valuations going on. But the only true valuation that there is for us is what somebody is willing to pay for us. The highest price that somebody is willing to pay for us. And not a price that will ever go down because the market changes. But God is willing to pay on Jesus. For us. One Jesus for John. One Jesus for Nathan. One Jesus for each one of us. That's what we were. A skeptical me said, yeah, it was one Jesus for 8 billion plus people. And we can think like that. But if we look back to the parable of the sheep, just for that one, you know, God's willing. Just for that one. He's willing to spend their life. So I think the question is where are we this morning? Obviously with a parable we need to sort of try identify and see who am I in that story. Maybe you feel like the sheep. Maybe you feel like you've wandered off and have got lost. Maybe you feel like you've never actually been found by God. And you're thinking, will God make the effort? Does he love me enough? Because I this. Really, I didn't manage well there, and I failed at that. Or I hurt somebody else. I'm the one who ran away. He's too busy looking after the 99. But God seeks you. Not because of you. He loves you. He loves you. Not because of anything you have done or you haven't done. He loves you because he loves. And I find that greatly reassuring. Nothing I can do can impress him more, which is a good thing because nothing I can do can unimpress him and take away from his love for me. Or maybe you feel you're one of the 99 and there you are, you're out in the safe place and the shepherd's just seemingly gone somewhere. And you're thinking, all the lost sheep are having the good time. They're having the party. The new Christians, they're the ones having these amazing aha experiences with God and reading the Bible, and just, they're so excited. And I'm just here in the field with another 99 people who feel the same as me, and we really could do with God turning up. And he did. He's a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He came back to that flock, guaranteed. And there will be times when you do feel God in a better way. But know that you're in a safe place for now. And just hang in there. Just hold out there. Keep wanting him. Keep seeking him. He will be back. And you will be shepherding again in a way that you can experience. Okay? So let's pray. Father, you are. We can list all these things that you are. And we can try break you down into little sections that we can understand. But you are big. And you love because you love. And you've chosen us as the recipients of your love. Not because who we are. Because you are and you love us. I just pray that you would have that truth sit deeply in our hearts over this coming week, Lord, that you would help us to review our lives. Lord, if we are tired, if we have been believers for a long time and it seems like the same old, and maybe we feel like we're going around the mountain and getting to that place over and over again, Lord, help us to see where you are in it. To see that you are the shepherd and that you are the good shepherd. Yeah. Move us on to a good place where we can rest, where we can water and feed in you. Lord, where we can appreciate others, where we can appreciate the lost sheep and the excitement. And where we can value other people as you value them. In Jesus' name. Amen.